All right, Uncle Sam. Now, if you'll just step on those scales over there, please.
Should I take off my shoes, Dr. Grauer?
No, I think we'll take you with all your outposts, if you don't mind.
I'm a little nervous. Huh? Haven't had an important checkup since the census in 1940. Uh-huh. I wonder what the war's done to me.
Well, we'll soon find out. Steady, please. Yeah. There we are. Why, you've put on weight, Uncle Sam. Since 1940, you've gained 715 square miles.
Must be those islands I'm looking after in the Pacific. Mm.
And over 13 million people.
Well, knock down my Temple Hill.
Living 1948, brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliates, holds up its radio mirror today to reflect the population trends of you, the American people, and pose the question,
is our young nation going to stop growing soon?
Are we as a people getting older and likely to get more set in our ways?
What should we do about our future population forecasts?
Now, tomorrow, we seek the answers in this and other drama document entitled
USA Growing Pains.
Cloaked in the white mantle of the doctor for the occasion is your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Your temperature seems all right, Uncle Sam. Your pulse is a little fast.
Oh, election year.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, sir. Now, if you'll just lie down there on that table.
Yeah?
You'll find it quite comfortable.
Oh.
That's it. And take this pill, please.
Pill?
Sorry. I should explain that this pill is the latest thing. As a matter of fact, it's just been made available for medical use. If you simply take this pill, close your eyes, and count...
Yes?
You'll go right off to sleep and learn everything you want to know about yourself.
Some pill. What's it called?
Well, the technical name... Just a moment, I'll get some water for that pill. The technical name is Forecast of the Population of the United States, 1945 to 1975.
Oh.
It's put out by the Scripps Foundation in cooperation with the Bureau of the Census. Now, here's a little water, and...
I don't see how...
Now, don't argue with Dr. Grauer. When you've had enough, all you have to do is holler, Uncle. You'll wake up again.
But, yeah,
The pill. There's a good uncle. Oh. Now, the water. Now, close your eyes.
These newfangled doctors. Radio doctors, that is.
Now, count, please. Just count.
One, two, three, four, five.
You can stop now, Uncle.
What? Who?
I said you can stop now.
Who are you?
Death.
Death? What are you doing here?
Mortality Trends. They devoted 7 pages to my efforts with you. Both died.
Oh, they did, eh? How does everything look?
Deadly.
Eh?
For me, not for you.
How come?
Higher standard of living, better public health services. Your people are lasting 15 years longer than they did back in 1900.
Eh.
It's enough to make a man in my business want to go lie down somewhere and live. Uncle, I said your people live 15 years longer than they did back in 1900.
Tell me, what's the outlook for the future?
Grave, Uncle, grave. It's entirely conceivable that by the year 2000, the national average for length of life for your people will mount up to 69 for men and 72 for women.
Heavens to Betsy.
Greater average longevity than now prevails for any considerable body of people.
Dead? Where is thy sting?
A2, Brutus. A2. That's what everybody's been asking me. Everybody. Everybody.
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler, Uncle.
I haven't had enough. Why?
I wouldn't be too sure of that, dearie.
Huh? Say, ooh.
Fertility is what the census boys call me. But perhaps on the radio, you better call me Bertha.
Bertha?
Well, Bert, for short.
You mean you know all about the birth rate?
Yes.
Well, how am I doing?
Not so hot.
What? But I've just had the biggest crop of babies you ever saw. Almost 4 million last year alone.
War babies, high prosperity, wartime psychology, more marriages, a temporary situation.
Oh.
The truth of the matter, my bearded friend, is your birth rate's been going down and down for decades.
But I've
been... thank heaven for your agricultural and rural areas, that's all.
Why?
The moon, honey, the stars, and the birds and bees does something to people. They got it all over your cities and industrial states with the number of babies per mother they give you.
Ooh, but a declining birth rate, I don't like that. Why?
Ain't you ever heard of economic conditions? Good times, lots of jobs, lots of confidence, wedding bells. Bad times, lots of pretty girls are left holding their diaries instead of a man. But there are bigger reasons than that.
What?
Let me put it this way. Limiting family size to the number of children couples decide they want. More and more people are doing it.
What'll that mean to me tomorrow?
Very good question, big boy. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Wait. You haven't answered my question.
Ask the people. All I do is fill the orders. Bye now. I've got to go look after my stork.
Fertility. Bertha. Maybe I should ask the people.
We have asked the people, Uncle Sam.
Who are you?
I'm Lou Bowen, associate editor of the American Institute of Public Opinion. You know, the Gallup polls that you read in your papers.
Oh, you fellas that are always feeling my pulse.
That's right, Uncle. Now, you're interested in your birth rate.
Yeah.
The best sources of information on what size families folks prefer are the Gallup polls. At least the Census Bureau says so. Here's what we asked.
What do you consider the ideal size of a family? A husband, a wife, and how many children?
What did they say?
In 1941, most persons agreed.
2 children.
Followed closely by...
I think 3 kids would be ideal.
Well, I told my husband I wanted 4. He almost fainted.
That was in 1941, and very few expressed a desire for only 1 child, and only a small number said they wanted 5 or more.
Mm-hmm. So what?
Well, apparently something happened between 1941 and 1945 to change a lot of minds. By 1945, fewer people said...
2's enough for me.
And more said...
4 or 5. That's what I want.
Splendid. Splendid.
Well, the Census Bureau was a little more cautious, sir. They attribute the change to wartime psychology and believe the 41 figures are more the way people feel today.
So, where does that leave us?
I can only introduce their opinion, sir.
The medium fertility assumptions lead eventually to a decreasing population, unless offset by sufficient immigration from abroad.
Well, that's it. Good day, Uncle Sam.
Hey, come back. Come back!
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler Uncle.
Heads up, please. Heads up. It's very delicate.
What's going on here? What's that thing?
This machine, sir, is a population fact digester.
Fact digester?
Mm-hmm. No, all I have to do is feed the facts, and presto, out comes the answer mechanically.
Imagine that. Okay. Now, ask it to tell me what my population will be in... 1975.
Easy, sir, as pie. Let's take the medium assumption. First, we put the facts on your mortality trends and declining birth rate. Mm-hmm. Immigration? Well, let's take a net immigration of 100,000 per year.
Everything in?
Except for a little Earl. There we are. Stand back, please.
Stand back?
To let the machine digest the facts, sir. I press the button, and here we go. Just watch now.
Well, What'll they think of Nick?
The machine will tell you.
In 1975, 166 million people.
Well, there you are, sir. 21 million more people than today.
Wonderful.
Oh, this indicates, sir, a decided slowing up in the rate of growth of your population.
What?
Mm-hmm.
America?
Mm-hmm.
Me? Gradually getting stunted?
Indeed, there's a strong possibility that within a few years after the turn of the next century, 2000 A.D., you'll stop growing and your total population will probably turn downward. So there.
Goodbye.
Heads up, please. Heads up. It's very delicate.
Hey, watch out for Dr. Grauer's X-ray machine.
Hey, look out! Just look. Now, what'll I do for figures?
Just account the ladies.
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler Uncle.
All the world's a stage, sir, and all the men and women merely players.
Darnedest drug I ever took. And who would you be?
Aye, sir, in the disappointing jargon of this modern day, I am called the forecaster.
What do you forecast?
The future age composition of your population, sir.
And forecast away, by Jiminy, because I certainly want to know how I am going to shape up.
Hark, sir, I begin. At first the infant mewling, and then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face. Creeping like a snail unwillingly to school.
Which means,
let me put it this way. You now have 45 million children and youths under 18.
Yeah.
Assuming a more gradual decline in birth rate than in pre-war, the number will be 43 million in 1975, slightly fewer than at present.
Now, look here,
Continue, sir, with the next stage group, as characterized by the immortal Bard. And then the lover... sighing like a furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress eyebrow.
You mean the marriageable age?
Again, in the hopeless language of this day, sir, check. Men 25 to 20, women 18 to 23, the ages, like the census gentlemen say, at which a large majority marry for the first time.
What about them?
They will be reduced for a period of years, sir, until the war baby crop reaches marriageable age.
No.
Alas, sir, yes. As for the ratio of male to female, we shall probably have a small excess of females in due time.
Well, I declare.
Ah, but then a soldier full of strange oaths, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel.
That would be...
The best working ages, sir, 18 to 44.
And?
The proportion of adults in these ages will decline, sir, although the actual number may show a small increase.
Pure in proportion, not so good.
No, sir. However... let's onward and upward, sir, with Shakespeare. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, full of wise saws and modern instances, which means this older working group, 45 to 64, will increase, both in proportion and number.
Older ages up, eh?
But it is among your very eldest trotter, sir, 65 and older, that your largest rates of gains will occur. All the way from those, as Shakespeare so aptly puts it, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side to sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
Well, all told, then, my young folks will shrink and my old folks will increase in the future.
Thou hast spoken as true as steel, sir.
Well, doggone it,
But soft. What light through yonder window breaks?
Light? I don't see any light anywhere.
It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Oh. Wait. Come back. Forecaster.
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler Uncle.
Oh. Hey, Uncle.
Huh? Where'd you come from?
That's neither here nor upstairs. What I came to tell you was the implications are terrific.
Who are you?
An implicator first class. Mm-hmm. Look what your population trend will mean for schools.
What?
Take the short-range picture. The increase in kids just going into the first grade will be nearly 50% by 1953, and then down again by a million by the 60s.
Yes?
Yeah. It's going to put an awful strain on the school system. You're going to need more space for the first grade and more people to teach them. Same for the second grade a year later and the third grade after that, and so on.
Say, that's right. I'd better start asking myself a few questions.
Questions like these.
How can we obtain the additional teachers and classroom space which will be needed for the elementary grades? Should temporary quarters be rented, present buildings enlarged, or new buildings erected? Should teacher training institutions encourage a larger-than-average proportion of students who graduate before 55 to prepare for teaching in the lower elementary grades? Later on, should they be encouraged to train for high school teaching?
And what about marriage?
What about it?
Less people from 18 to 25 from now to 1956. Oh, brother, what that's going to do?
For instance?
Well, less people marrying for the first time, which means...
Engagement rings. Prices considerably reduced. Household furniture, now at rock-bottom cost.
And fewer marriages will mean fewer new families up to 1955. And fewer new families will mean more signs that say...
For rent.
Take it from me. Your communities, your school administrators, your businessmen better start planning now. So long, Uncle.
But wait. Hold on.
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler Uncle.
Doggone it all. What I'm worried about is my population going down and me stopping growing.
Don't, my friend. Don't worry.
Now, who...
Implicator second class.
Oh.
Now, the trouble with you is you can't forget your pioneer days. That old feeling that the best population is the largest and fastest growing.
Well, isn't it?
Uncle, old boy, some experts say you've been over your optimum population for years.
Oh.
However well you've done in spite of it. And will in the future.
But,
Quit seeing yourself an old man in a wheelchair. You aren't aging. You're maturing.
Oh. Maturing, eh?
And don't forget, there's a bright side to leaving behind you your wild old days.
For instance?
Think. That slowing up of your growth will mean you won't have to use so much of your productive capacity to take care of the things additional people need, like streets, public utilities.
So,
Uncle, you can use your capacity to produce community houses, swimming pools, things like that, to be enjoyed by your population that's around now.
Say, won't that tend to raise my level of living?
Why not? Why not?
Uh-oh. But with fewer people, won't I have fewer customers?
But better customers. Because the smaller labor force, don't you get it, will mean a bigger share of the income for each. And less of those up and down business cycles.
Say.
And don't forget that slowing growth of yours will be helpful to your generations to come.
How'd you figure that?
Well, they'll inherit more natural resources, which ought to help make up for the huge national debt to be passed on. So, put a smile on your face.
this?
Right. Take care. Oh, let the smile be yours.
When you've had enough, Uncle Sam, just holler Uncle.
If you don't mind wiping that smile off your face, I'll be pleased to demonstrate for you.
Demonstrate what?
Some of the consequences of your aging population. Some of the things you'll have to prepare yourself for. Be careful. Don't jostle the equipment, please.
But did you just...
Implicator third class. Mm. Now, the first thing I want to demonstrate to you is the effect of your aging population upon the manufacture and sale of consumer goods.
What's that there?
This, sir, is a radio, which can be tuned into the commercials of the future.
Oh.
Listen.
Attention, friends. Are you having trouble with your hearing aid? Then visit Holcomb's, the store especially redesigned for maturing folk.
Oh.
Holcomb's, once famous for its nursery equipment, diapers, toys, now stands ready to serve you with its wide assortment of canes, toupees.
Ooh, horrors.
What's odd about it, sir?
Ooh.
With an approximately 50% increase in the 65-year-olds by 1975, and a 15 to 40% decrease in the proportion of children under 5 during the same period.
You mean?
It's quite natural that it should bring important changes in the demand for certain kinds of consumer goods. Now, take clothing.
Ladies. Modern Day invites you to come down and see its latest showing of coats, suits, and dresses with the old look. We have stouts, large sizes for every...
will help you.
And you see, since people are inclined to become more conservative with age, the taste for extreme styles will change, and the proportion of stouts will rise slowly, since waistlines and hips tend to thicken with age. Just look through this mechanical eavesdropper and consider housing alone. Now, let's see. Here we are. There.
There you are, folks. As fine a house as I've ever offered in all my years as a realtor.
Yes, but what do we want with a house and yard and all those extra rooms at our age with no children?
Why, yes. What we're looking for is a small apartment.
Your housing industry better give some thought to that.
I'll say.
Just keep your eye on the future, please, while I make an adjustment. There. What do you see now?
Hospital.
Listen.
Dr. Kildare wanted in the chronic ward. Dr. Kildare, chronic ward.
What? You mean for once they're not calling him to save some sick child or go to maternity?
Quite so. With an aging population, hospitals will grow increasingly concerned with the diseases and infirmities of later life.
Say, people getting older will increase the need for old people's homes and demand for new and improved social security.
Something else you'd better start working on.
But with all these older people who tend to be more conservative, what about progress?
For progress's sake, you'd be wise to begin now, to continue during the next 30 years to change people's attitude about keeping on with learning. You'd better take steps to broaden your adult education program sooner. And, two, be careful about electing too many older people to office.
What problems?
But some folks are not going to realize the advantage of your population maturity and will worry up a storm about your declining birth rate. Now, let me give you a possible preview of what you may be led to by this kind of thinking. Again, the radio tuned to the future. Listen.
Good evening. This is your Washington correspondent, ladies and gentlemen, speaking to you from the Capitol in this year of our Lord, 1965. Well, Congress has just passed the pronatal program.
Oh.
I repeat, the pronatal program.
Oh.
Your government now offers you couples a handsome bonus for every increase in your family.
Oh.
The president himself will decorate the mother who, in the shortest time, gives us the most.
Uncle! Uncle! Uncle.
All right. Well, now, Uncle Sam, you'll be all right in just a moment.
How do you feel? Darnest checkup I ever saw.
You look yourself again, though. Now, let's take a look at this diagnosis. Yes, says you're growing older, but also maturing. There are lots of things you should do now about education, for one, to keep you in good health. Also, a lot of things to think about in regard to the more distant future, the change in hospital needs, kind of housing demand, social security. But all told, if you take good care of yourself, there's no reason at all why you shouldn't have a long, active life ahead of you yet.
Thanks, Dr. Grower.
Well, we'll see you again in April 1950 when we take the next big census.
You can count on me.
Good luck, Uncle Sam.
Living, 1948, is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold, with scripts written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner, music conducted by Milton Kadams. Will Gear played Uncle Sam. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. The program was directed by James Harvey. Next week, Home, Broken Home. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.